It's time for Sacred Conversations on WZMO. Marian pastors gathered around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Sacred Conversations. Our clergy in the Marion, Ohio area are around a kitchen table having a conversation around various topics. I am Reverend Adam Sorenshai, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, Cardington, Ohio, and I'm joined here by my colleagues.
I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass. I serve Marion Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marion.
I'm Father Ed Chiquina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington. And I brought with me a special guest. This is Kevin Nagaga, who is a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus, studying to be a priest. I'll let Kevin say hello.
So hello, our dear listeners. Today I'm going to join your esteemed clergy to discuss like the sacred discussions that you're going to have here. Mm-hmm. So welcome all.
Well, thank you. And it's good to have you here with us today. Today we're going to be talking about it's summer's in the air, right? You've probably noticed the kids are out, kids are home, or kids are getting in trouble doing a lot of different things. I know my four are. So school is out, and it's just a different rhythm, different pace. We're going to reflect on Psalm 19, Pastor Jennifer, and the moments that we encounter in the summertime, the sacred moments.
Absolutely. So let me read briefly from Psalm 19. This is a psalm about God's glory in creation. God's word says this: "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb." And the psalm ends with these words: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer."
Those are probably familiar words that people hear often. I think preachers say from the pulpit before launching into a sermon, mm-hmm. those final words. Father Ed, this time of year, a lot of times those that follow a church lectionary, a calendar, I've found that particularly those living in the northern hemisphere, there's a rhythm. Do you see any, as we enter into summer, you know, here in Ohio, do you see any rhythm between what some call ordinary time, time after Pentecost, and this, or is it too subtle, or just really not there at all as far as the season goes?
Yeah, I mean, I see a rhythm, which is like the less people at church in the summertime. So I think people just, you know, are going on vacation, you know, and that's what's happening is people are traveling. So, but that really speaks to how the weather itself provides, and the season itself of summer provides an opportunity for people to get out and enjoy life a little, you know, a lot more leisurely than the rest of the year. And so this is what we're doing. We're encountering God. Even if people are not intending to encounter God, they have the opportunity to do so if they were just sort of open to it. Mm-hmm. And so just like, you know, As I said in the last episode, I was talking about just how nature itself is sort of like a fifth gospel. Nature points to God, I think, and it helps us to recognize God's goodness, and God is the creator of the universe. And so summertime is a great time to find God because we're outside more. We're actually seeing nature and we're exploring, and, you know, and it could be going out to the backyard, but it could also be going to Alaska. It could have been going to Europe or Africa, and you know, seeing you know how God is at work in different parts of the world and in His creation. So I think, yeah, certainly the season of summer helps us to be able to experience God.
All right, Kevin, what are your thoughts on this? On the season of summer and like other ways, like, you know, Father Ed's talking about this outdoor, you know, with the weather anyway, we're able to be outside more and encounter God more. Where do you particularly see God in nature?
Generally, summer usually slows us down, uh-huh. yeah, to some great extent. And we have many plans for summer. For instance, some people are planning to go on a vacation or something. Mm-hmm. But again, even during summer, like the idea or even about nature, just going out for a hike or anything, there's a way we can connect with God, because He's the creator and sustainer of everything. We need to have that in mind and to know that it's God who created everything. And regardless of activities we choose to do over the summer, we need to have this at the back of our mind, that it is God who created us and He's the one who is sustaining us. And even the hike, as it's on its own, hiking also has a lesson for us with our faith journey. Like, it's a journey. It reminds us of the journey of life that we have here on earth. And our ultimate end is to get to heaven. So there's so much we can learn from those normal day-to-day activities. For instance, even gardening, it teaches us patience. It teaches us to know that growth is a slow and a gradual process. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen in a day, but also there's that virtue of patience, just waiting and also cultivating all those virtues that are necessary mm-hmm. for us to get to live, you know, to live that perfect and a life which we are called to live as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're touching upon like this idea of even that recreation is doing something, right? Yeah. I think there's, in our society as Americans, we think that work is like the ultimate thing, and so we just got to keep busy and keep working, and that's the serious stuff. But I think you're pointing out that that recreation is actually a way in which we're doing something when yeah. it feels like you're doing nothing. And how often we feel guilty about taking time off to play. And you're saying that no, by doing that, we're actually growing closer to God in many ways. Like, recreation is going to be part of that recreating, right? You know, yeah. of you know, that God calls us into. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Jennifer, what are you going to be doing this summer? As far as like any, and do you have plans to go away? And what does that time look like for you?
So I really do hope to get away this summer and spend some time. With my husband, we typically try to go at least for a couple of days up to Frankenmuth, Michigan, and just enjoy the beauty of that little, I think it's a little Bavarian village, they say. And so it's a beautiful little spot within driving distance. Also, I know I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I had hoped to spend some time with my mother and sister and my nieces in honor of my mom's 70th birthday. And maybe go up to Mackinac Island in that great state up north as well. And so I do hope to get a little bit of time to rest and refresh this summer. And one of the things that my husband, Jared, is fond of saying is that just because it's non-productive time does not mean that it is truly unproductive. I think God calls us certainly to a weekly Sabbath rest, where we pause from the striving and the busyness and the incessant productivity of our lives, and we just rest and refresh in God's presence. We spend time in worship, but we also just spend time resting our minds and our bodies so that we can recover a little bit for the week to come. And I think also, you know, there are times to get away for a little season, maybe a vacation, and to fully pause from the daily grind and enjoy God's presence. And summer is such a beautiful time of year to do that. Like you said, Father Ed, many families are, they are free from, for instance, the school year. Mm-hmm. And so families can spend some time together and do some fun things and make wonderful family memories. And that can bring some family closeness. What are you guys up to this summer?
We're going out. I'm originally from Long Island, New York. Mm-hmm. My wife's from Central Pennsylvania. So we're going to take, we definitely have that planned to head out that way to Pennsylvania, then New York, then make it back to Ohio. In years past, we've gone on cruises. That's mm-hmm. one of our favorite things to do mm-hmm. to really relax. Mm-hmm. And it is that time to kind of just unplug. And it is like an extended Sabbath time, but also that fellowship with friends and family you don't get to see regularly. You know, it raised some interesting points too when you talk about worship, because, and I mean this more in like a philosophical way, but it is in a sense one of the most useless things we can do, right? Because it's not, I think people look at worship in an American mindset as transactional, mm-hmm. right? It's like, what am I getting out of this, right? Where, like, if worship is primarily to give thanks and praise to God, right, and then God comes to us and encounters us in our worship, it's something you do for the sake of doing, like people that love gardening, right, or love hiking. They just do it for the sake of doing it. They love it. Yeah, they like to see kind of results that may come out, benefits come out of it, but benefits come out of worship. Right? I mean, there are benefits that we do, but it's not in that transaction that I think I've seen over the years. Maybe that's died down, but there is a sense of, like, I think some people need to feel they need to be entertained, or they automatically need to walk away like, well, I need to be inspired, right? Like, or they go to a church and it becomes about the programs, right? It's very consumeristic mm-hmm. in that sense, as opposed to allowing yourself to just be embraced, you know, mm-hmm. by the presence of God and the presence of God's holy people.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, there's a bishop that says that, a Roman Catholic bishop, that it's the ultimate form of play, right? You know, that I had a friend recently was talking to somebody and inviting them to come to our church, and they had jokingly said, like, well, Lutherans and Episcopalians, they're into their costumes, talking about our vestments, you know, but they said it in a nice way. And I said, we are, because that is also a part of play, right? That is also a part of, I think, recreation, I would say, in that liturgical sense, in that how my kids now are 8, 10, 11, and 12, and when they, you know, even when they were smaller and they're playing, they dressed up. They took play seriously, I guess is what I'm pointing. They mm-hmm. played hard. And I think when we do things even throughout the year in worship, that is a sense of playfulness, mm-hmm. right? That is something that we do that brings us into the divine presence. And yeah. So in the summertime, we get to do this in a particular way in the day-to-day that takes us out of our kind of grind throughout the year, mm-hmm. right? But puts us into different places and locations because of how spread apart our families and friends are in our society these days, and
absolutely.
We get to encounter that. So
absolutely,
yeah.
This it's actually reminded me of a Van Halen song, "Humans Being." we like to talk often about the things that we do, and it's not so often that we get a chance to just be with each other and to be with God in a way that is not about all that we can accomplish. And so it's wonderful to just spend some time playing. It really is. In the United Methodist Church, we have regions of the state that we call our conferences. And Marion, Ohio is located in West Ohio Conference. And so our counterpart is East Ohio Conference. And here in the next few years, we will work to join those conferences together into an all-Ohio conference of the United Methodist Church. And so people from each of the conferences have been meeting together even now, years ahead of time, to get to know each other and they have spent time working together and talking together, but also playing together. Mm-hmm. They've taken some time to do some fun team building stuff and some time where they are just hanging out and enjoying one another's company and getting to know each other in a way that doesn't depend on productivity, but it's still incredibly productive. And that's kind of what we all do when we enjoy the beauty of all of God's creation around us and just give thanks from our hearts, where we are just being and not necessarily checking things off the to-do list. Does that make sense? Have you ever had a summer moment that was particularly refreshing for you, Father Ed?
Yeah. I mean, I remember even as a kid, one of my favorite memories on vacation is when we went to Florida. So I used to live in Louisiana, and we went to Florida, and we were on a beach. And one evening, we were by ourselves on the beach. We were able to go out onto this pier in the middle of the night. Or maybe it wasn't middle of the night, but it was completely dark. But, you know, so here we are outside underneath the sky, and you have all of these bright stars. And we have brought these lawn chairs out there, and we're just like laying back in our chairs, just my family, on this pier out in the ocean off the beach. And it was just like one of the most awe-inspiring moments of my life. And we weren't doing anything other than just like looking up at the stars.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I could see my dad pointed out the International Space Station going overhead. You could see this tiny little white light going over. But, you know, I think it so for me personally, nature is just like wonderful. And it kind of gives me a sense of the grandeur of God. And I think this is why even this summer the family's planning a vacation to the Grand Canyon. And so you go to the Grand Canyon, and what does it actually do? Not a whole lot, other than you just go and you look out at the Grand Canyon, right? So as Pastor Adam is saying, there's nothing productive about it, but what you're doing though is you're taking in the grandness of it. I mean, I was there when I was 2 years old, so I don't remember it. So, so I'm looking forward to going to see it, and hopefully it's going to be this awe-inspiring moment again, just to, you know, to see it and say it like, wow, this is just a tiny fraction of, you know, Earth, right, compared to the rest of Earth and the rest of the universe. But you could see the greatness of God. And so I think for me personally, I'm looking forward to it to help me again as a way of connecting with the creator of the universe. And so there you go. There's nature that's involved, and it's not productive in the sense of trying to get something out of it other than bringing me closer to God.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, even as I was driving out here to be here with you fellas for our radio show, as I was driving out through the countryside, is that we live in such a beautiful county. And all around us, we are seeing farm fields that are freshly planted with corn and soybeans. And we are seeing that slow growth that is so beautiful. And like you said, Kevin, it's a sign that God is growing things all around us. The trees outside are bright green with leaves. And I feel like I just noticed that the trees are full with leaves now. You know how spring seems to take a long time in coming? And this particular spring, it was kind of chilly, was very, very rainy. And now suddenly it looks like, okay, summertime is truly right around the corner. And it's just we live in such a lovely place. I feel like we are in God's country here in Marion County.
I drive between Marion and Cardington when I'm going between the two churches. And, you know, on 529 is usually, that's when it's the sky opens up. You know, I love to just like look at the sky, especially if there are clouds, certain clouds in the sky. And again, I'm just always awestruck by God's goodness, just in that one little journey, you know? So I think that's, you know, nature, I'm still just like a fan of saying that nature itself teaches us about God. And Jesus himself often used parables of nature. Like we talk about, he talked about the parable of the sower,
mm-hmm.
right? This, he talked about the seed and how, you know, it's scattered on rocky ground versus that's that which is, you know, choked by the thorns. And he's really just looking at, this is how, you know, plants work.
Mm-hmm.
Some seed grows on fertile soil, other seeds don't grow at all. And he's taking what you could see in nature as a lesson then about how the spiritual life works, really. But and so I think, you know, he's teaching us then we can look at nature when we're out there and get kind of an idea of who God is, mm-hmm. and how he works and what it might mean for us. And mm-hmm. Aristotle himself always talked about, you know, looking from effect. You can look at effects, and then that can lead you to cause, mm-hmm. so causation. And so he would always look down. You know, there's this famous painting of Aristotle pointing his finger down. Plato's pointing up at, like, yeah. okay, look at the universal yeah. the forms of things. But Plato's saying, well, start, you know, we should start. What we do is we look at the particulars, you know, and we can deduce the cause from looking at the particulars.
That's beautiful.
So I think, it's a great lesson for people to just, hey, look at nature, you know, and you can mm-hmm. you can get better understanding of who God is just from what you see.
Is there a place outdoors where you consistently feel close to God? I throw that out to the table, and I'll volunteer that one of the places I feel closest to God is honestly in my backyard with a couple of camp chairs around our tiny fire pit. Just building a little fire out of maybe some of the branches that have fallen out of the trees in the past couple of weeks, and maybe a couple of pieces of firewood, and just enjoying the beauty of being in my backyard, which is, it's a beautiful little yard, but I can hear, you know, the neighbor kids playing. Somebody's probably mowing their yard. Somebody else down the street has probably got their, you know, their barbecue grill fired up and they're cooking dinner. And so it's like classic summertime in the backyard. And I always have wonderful conversations with my husband, Jared, just sitting there together, enjoying our tiny rusty fire pit, which we love. How about you?
Well, so I'm from Long Island, New York.
So you like looking at concrete?
So moving out here was interesting in living out in the country, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so now my mom was from Guttenberg, Iowa, so I understood God's country, you know, in a way, in the rural Midwest. And so coming out here and living in the country was a bit of an adjustment. Yeah. I wasn't used to the silence. I think that was a big piece of it, right? Like to be still and know that I am God, right? Like that is kind of, you know. And the parsonage is on the same property as our church. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful property. And we have a church cemetery too. And I would say that, you know, within that, it was just walking on that, and I guess the campus, so to speak. So we're surrounded by farmland too. So just looking outside the backyard, whether it's a soybean year or a corn year, mm-hmm. just gives you a sense of peace. You're just surrounded by that. But then even walking, you talk about God's creation, and then it might sound strange to people, but being that close to a cemetery and walking and knowing God's care for all of creation, right? And that our God is the God of the living and the dead, right? And that, you know, that there is a sense that we've been believing in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. There is this deep awareness of this world and all that is in it, but also this promise of a new heaven and a new earth, right? Of all things being made new. Mm-hmm. So it's this, so being out in the country, particularly where I am, there's this constant, like, reminder of the presence and the beauty of God's creation, but also hope of a new creation, mm-hmm. when I look at that and walk in that cemetery, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Kevin, how about you?
So originally I come from Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and in Kenya, we don't have the four seasons, unlike here, mm-hmm. where you get our spring, fall, winter, summer. So we kind of have maybe two seasons. It's either rainy season or sunny season.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here last year, and the most fascinating thing about being here in the U.S. is that you guys have the four seasons, and all these four seasons kind of point towards God and the beauty of His creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's so much for me to learn from that. So I came right in the middle of winter. I'd never seen snow. Like, for my entire life, it was my first time seeing snow and seeing those small particles dropping from the sky coming down. I'm like, oh, wow. I was really fascinated by that. And
a snowflake. Did you see a snowflake?
Yeah, I held the snowflakes on my hand and I'm like, okay, wow. I realized these little particles, they kind of have a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I was wondering at that. Then it points me to God, how God is a God of order, in the sense that all those things are happening, but you could see there's a pattern in everything,
mm-hmm.
and there's a beauty in that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we think of philosophy, philosophy begins with wonder. And when we're out there, we are seeing all this beauty. The trees are now, you know, it's all green. It's all full of life.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago, there was no any like leaf on the trees and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this point, you know, the beauty of creation and how God works, you know, and how time keeps on changing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was spring. Now we are going into summer. Mm-hmm. And what do I have to learn? What do I need to learn?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I be a better person?
Mm-hmm.
So being on this side of the world has made me become more contemplative,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of I contemplate and I'm trying to find God in everything, in the wonder, like in the nature, just looking around, because God is the uncaused causer,
mm-hmm.
just as Father had said here a while back, the cause and effect. We cannot have an effect if there is no cause.
A cause, right.
Yeah, so God being the sustainer of everything, I mean, everything points to Him. So through that, all the four seasons kind of remind me of the beauty of nature and creation, and kind of invites me to always take contemplative in action.
Mm-hmm.
Father Ed, did you have some closing thoughts for us?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Kevin's talking about the nature and the seasons, and, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the flower. If you're just sitting out in your yard, you know, like in your backyard, like Pastor Jen, and just looking at a flower, and you got the honeybees that are buzzing around it, it seems like, you know, this flower, which has attracted the honeybee to it, you know, so that the bee can, you know, get the pollen off the flower, and then it flies to another flower, and it pollinates another flower. Well, it seems like that's by design. Right, you can't think of a flower that has no brain that could actually think about, well, let me design myself, or let me develop myself through evolution to provide, you know, sweet honey so that a honeybee can be attracted to me and, you know, pollinate other flowers. You know, so it seems like that nature, that aspect of nature itself, is telling us that there had to be somebody that created it, flower, to be designed that way, and honeybees to work alongside with it. So I think even something as simple as that points us to the fact that there is God, and it can give us awe and wonder about that. So.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for this wonderful conversation. And Kevin, if you haven't experienced it already, the four seasons in Ohio can be experienced in the same day. So be prepared for that if you haven't experienced that. If you have any questions that you want us to answer on air, email us at wzmo1071@gmail.com. I am Pastor Adam Sornchai at St. John Lutheran Windfall.
I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marion.
I'm Father Ed Shakina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington.
I'm Kevin Negaga, seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus.
Thank you for being with us, and enjoy your summer. Take care and God bless.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times, or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.